Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems all things and reckons it unto God's self. Amen. This 18th chapter of Matthew is a difficult chapter in many ways. It is a chapter that focuses on life in Christian community and what that life might look like. There is a discourse about what might happen within the community of God and how we might act. There is in our text in Matthew for today some teaching that happens, and then some exhortation, and then a proclamation. First, the teaching. Jesus speaks to the disciples, to those who are there, and offers this rather practical advice that when another member of the church should sin against you, this is what you ought to do. Well, the word for sinning against you has lots of different meanings, but one of the things that it means is when we misunderstand one another, when we miss the mark, when we don't treat each other well. The first thing that we should do is that we should go to that person, it says, when the two of us are alone, and if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Now, it doesn't say when that other member sees the error of their ways and does your bidding or agrees with you totally on every account, then you have regained that one. The verb is that when they listen. It's about communicating and recovering a relationship. Surprisingly, sometimes that doesn't work. And so, from a psychosocial point of view, Jesus prescribes an intervention. And sometimes we need an intervention. And so he says, bring a couple of other people from the church, from the community of faith, and meet together so that there's a witness to everything that was said. Not a witness against the one who has sinned, but a witness so that all may be heard and recounted. And if that works, then you have regained that one. And if it doesn't, go and tell the church. Now, I don't think that Jesus means in this Gospel of Matthew that we should all then gossip about this person. Now, that, as you well know, often happens in churches when there is difficulty. I mean, if you've ever been in the church, right? Most of you have been around for a while. When something begins to bubble up or someone is a little bit unhappy, what happens? On Linus's, you know, on the peanuts, it used to go. We start bubbling around. We light all kinds of fires and we get angry. So it isn't that. But rather, we should tell the church so that we can become community again. Wow. And if such a one should still not listen, treat them as a tax collector and a Gentile. And what did Jesus do with Gentiles and tax collectors? He invited him to dinner. What I come out of this teaching is that when we hurt one another and when we sin against one another and when there are disagreements among us, the teaching that I hear in this gospel is that we should work time and time and time again to restore the relationship that God first created in Jesus Christ. One exegete pointed out the fact that we too seldom connect the first part of the text and the second part of the text, where Jesus says, take two or three, one or two with you to talk to the person who has sinned. We don't do a good job of connecting that with where two or three are gathered. I will be among you. At the center of our reconciliation is Jesus Christ. It is love. Now imagine if we actually dealt with our difficulties in our community, not only our church community, but in our life in general, in this way. We would be healthier and happier. I'm happy to report to you that actually, believe it or not, in the Constitution of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, under the section on discipline, guess what they recommend? Matthew 18, word for word. This is what you are expected to do when you disagree with one another. Unfortunately, we don't often read the Constitution. A few years ago, I got into a tiff with a congregation, and it started a kind of, it was just a miscommunication. And pastors, believe it or not, occasionally get into trouble with their congregations. And it wasn't really anything that I had particularly done. It was just a misunderstanding. And within a very short period of time, the entire phone system of that town was alight. Everyone was talking to everyone. I mean, it was absolutely fascinating. And everyone's phone, it seems, was ringing except mine. And so we used Matthew 18. And we sort of discovered who it was that had started the whole thing. And we went and we met with them. And then I took council members and met with them. We tried everything we could until finally I stood up. I met with the council and I stood up on a sermon on Sunday morning. And I said, we have done everything that we can do to bring community back together. And so the council and I have decided that we don't mind if you start fires, but would you please put them out when you're done? It was a Smokey the Bear approach. But mostly, we prayed. And in the end, that's what made all the difference. Was that, as Jesus says in this gospel, we invited God into the promise. And so the teaching is a kind of formula for how we can get along. And the proclamation is the one that we hear again and again and again, that I will be in the midst of you no matter what. Even when you are acting poorly with one another, even when you are not getting along, even when you are not acting in each other's best interest, I will be in the midst of you no matter what. I am reminded again and again of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, in which that call to constant prayer and study, conversation, and mutual consolation is at the center of what it means to be together as the church. But I think this Matthew 18 is more, really much more, than a formula for how to deal with one another when we aren't getting along. I think its real power is that it's a formula for how we ought to behave when we are getting along. We don't pay enough attention to that. In fact, we as pastors know that about the only time you can ever get change happening in a church is when they aren't getting along. A little bit of conflict is like a little bit of salt. It makes everything taste a little better. But imagine if we used this same idea in our daily life. that we would gather together as the community of Christ in study and prayer and presence, and mutually uphold one another and hold one another accountable each and every day. And imagine if then we lived that life in the same way when we walked out of this door. What if we didn't confine Matthew 18 just to how we treat one another in the church, but we took it out there, which is what I think Jesus really intends. That you are gathering one and two of you every day, and Christ is in the midst of you, and you have the opportunity for that proclamation in every single moment. I am thankful to be a part of a Christian congregation who, at least at this moment, is not having any great big conflicts, at least none that I know about. But I am more thankful that I know that God has gifted all of you with a way to deal with one another that is loving and caring, that is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ, and that will allow us always to be little Christs for one another. As we move forward in mission, and as we share our life as Christian community with the world, I urge every one of us to remember these words. I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything, it will be agreed for in heaven, which does not include Cadillacs. And where two or three of you are gathered, I will keep my promise. And I will be there, says Jesus. Amen.